from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 92 on the game. Saturday afternoon, rolling in. Braves have a doubleheader today. Hopefully the rain doesn't impact them too much after the rainout yesterday. Morton and Elder scheduled to pitch against Cardinals today. Atlanta United tonight, they signed Pedro Amador to replace Caleb Wiley at left back. Atlanta United hosting Columbus Crew, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with Abe and Garrett on the pregame show, 7:30 for Mike and Jason on the call of the game. And Atlanta United are going to be in this window here where they can spend a little bit of money, and they have some money to be able to get some players and acquire some players in a time where I think the franchise is going to reevaluate, reset. And when they do decide whether it's Rob Valentino or go out and hire a new coach, I think you're going to see kind of a new version of Atlanta United moving forward beginning next year, a version that is less involved with trying to bring up young 18- to 19-year-old players from Latin America to come in and develop them for a year and sell them off to wherever. I think that it's going to be less of that moving forward with Atlanta United, more of trying to find a team that can grow together and we can all kind of understand that we're not going to be Kentucky anymore, so less one-and-dones and more players that we can get to recognize that they can sell in the community and become more cohesive as a unit and not keep trying to plug together everything. So I think that's coming here. That's what I got from Garth Lagerwey this week, and I think that's what's coming here. Falcons are getting ready to open camp on Thursday in Flowery Branch. Again, no fans this year in Flowery Branch. Two open practices, one a week from today at Second Year High, and then one at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We will have wall-to-wall coverage, though, virtually every show. Of course, not this one, because I can't get out there, which really sucks this year. We'll have wall-to-wall coverage from Flowery Branch, as we cover the Falcons camp, all the players, all the coaches, all the stories. You're going to have wall-to-wall coverage even without the fans there right here on Sports Radio 92 on the game. And we're only 20 days away from the Falcons playing Miami, so all that's around the corner. Tomorrow on the show, we'll get into a lot of Falcons talk. It does not preclude you from talking about the Falcons, but if you want to talk to the Falcons, don't come on the air and make up stories. Okay, that's all I say. Now, don't come on the air with bullcrap stories, and because it just doesn't, it makes you look bad. Let's go to Ben here. We're talking Braves. I have a question about Tiger, by the way. Let me reset. We're talking about Braves. What do you think they're going to do moving forward here in the next 10 days? Because 10 days to the trade deadline. And Tiger said yesterday he doesn't want to just be a ceremonial player. I'm afraid that's what he is. Is there a reason you think he might not be just a ceremonial player? And I'm still looking for somebody who's playing EA College Football 25, which has exploded across America. And I want to know how good it is, because I'm not going to be able to buy it. I just don't have time to play it. Ben, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, John, don't look to me to be playing college football. I haven't played since Turok on Nintendo about 20 years ago. I wanted to call because you sort of, just to back up what you talked about earlier with college teams playing pro teams, you're of the age, as I am, that you remember the college football all-star game. I think it was in the preseason back in the 70s where they would have college all-stars play the Super Bowl champions, and I remember the Pittsburgh Steelers just demolishing the college all-stars. I remember one game, I think, was started by Steve Barkowski.
Yeah, it was college. It was played at Soldier Field in Chicago. The final one, there was this violent rainstorm that happened at halftime, and they called the game and said that's it, and then they never played another one because the NFL teams said, why are we risking these players? It was a kind of a novel concept where the college all-stars would play the defending Super Bowl champions in a football game. And sometimes, you know, at least when – a lot of times what would happen was the starters would go out there and it wouldn't be very fair, and then the NFL team would put their backups in and the college all-stars would have some success. Yeah, no, I remember that game. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
hey,
Ben. I appreciate
it.
Oh, do you have something else? I guess I didn't know if you had anything else or not. If you do, I guess you can call back. Sorry about that, Ben. 404-726-0929 if you want to be part of the program. So, yeah, it's just a case where we get into, you know, football season here where I have high hopes for the Atlanta Falcons. I still have high and remain to have high hopes for the Atlanta Braves. I don't want anybody to think that I've given up on the Braves. I have a high hope that Atlanta United is going to finally kind of, and I think this is long overdue, what Garth Lagerwey is doing here, or what I think he's going to do, what he said he's kind of going to get rid of this whole buy, develop, sell concept here. They'll do some of that because they'll have to, but, you know, your goal as a franchise is not to buy a guy for $7 million out of Latin America and turn around and sell him for $25 million and say that's a win. It may be somewhat of a small financial win, but it's damaging to the franchise because the fans go, well, you're not selling tickets. I still think that Yakimaki sold for $10 million to Cruz Azul was a mistake. But the bigger mistake was they let Miles Robinson go to Cincinnati, and they let Julian Gressel go for a song to DC United. Julian Gressel told me when he went to DC United, do you know how much, I want everybody out there as a five-stripe fan to hear this. Guess how much, you know Julian Gressel, Noel White, Gresselmania, the whole bit, right? At the beginning of the first couple, 3 years of Atlanta United?
Well, I don't know if Noel did, but Eric Stein remembers Gresselmania running on you.
All right, so anyway, here, Eric's switched over. We've had a change in the technical producers here. We went to the bench and we got to Eric, who is our number one guy off that. All right, so Eric is running
Sixth
the show
man.
Now.
What's up, baby?
Yeah, me too. Well, you know what Julian told me, how much money he was making when he left Atlanta United, why he wanted to leave? He was making, think about Gresselmania, $100,000 a year.
Wow. To be one of the biggest stars in the MLS.
Well,
in this town, anyway.
But, you know, big star in town, right?
Yeah.
$100,000 a year. That's what he was making.
And
you know, you think athletes, he's making $6.2 million. Nah, he's making $2.1 million. Nah, he's making minimum wage $740,000. Nah, he made $100,000 a year.
And I want somebody to think about this. The soccer MLS season starts in, what, February and goes mm-hmm. to November?
Right.
That's a long season. That's a very long season.
Very long season. Developing stars, keeping the Julian Gressels and the Miles Robinsons and developing players that we can rally around. Because we've gone through, after Miggy and Joseph left, you know, we've gone through, what, Pitty and Barco and, you know, Miles and Yakimakis and Almada, and we keep changing all these players out, and I know that that's partly the nature of MLS. I understand that. But when it becomes your focus, we've gone through so many coaches, DeBoer, Heinze, who sucked, Glass, now Valentino again for the second time, and, of course, Pineda. You know, it's hard to rally around a franchise where the two center posts that you have for fans to hang on to are a coach and a pair of star players when they're the only guy. Because remember, the only thing that's existed Not since the opening game at Bobby Dodd Stadium, because he wasn't actually there. He hadn't joined the team quite yet. He came about six games later. But the only original guy, air quotes, from Atlanta United is Brad Guzan. He's it. And so, yeah, it's hard to kind of glom onto something when everything changes so rapidly. And we'll see what, you know, I know a lot of college fans have to go through this with a one-and-done, especially basketball programs. But and there are a lot of them. Kentucky, Duke, Indiana's turned into that. So I understand it. It's tough to glom on to teams when everybody changes so much. But, boy, it's really been a problem for United. 404-726-0929. Again, anyway, tonight, 6:30 pregame. Tiger, I don't know what to say. Again, really kind of breaks my heart to watch him play. Was watching him yesterday as an avid Tiger fan. If you don't like him, that's fine. I'm not trying to pass judgment on whether you like him or not. I happen to be, you know, friendly with him, and I've known him for an awfully long time. And I am a huge fan. He's been my favorite single individual athlete ever in my life. And to watch him do what he's doing now, to even be a shell of himself, is, yeah, it's no fun. And you know, maybe he gets healthy in the next couple of years, catches lightning in a bottle, pulls a Tom Watson, makes another run at a major, especially Augusta, where he knows so well. And that would be really, you know, really fun here. But I think maybe you know, I'm not going to tell him not to play the majors. I'm just going to tell him, I guess I have to reset my expectations that making the cut is a good thing, you know, and I just have to accept it for what he is, which is what he doesn't want to be, which is a ceremonial player, because I think that's what he is. Because I kept hoping he'd come back and be, you know, viable again. I really did. I kept coming. I kept hoping. All right, he'll come off this, you know, auto accident. He'll get healthy. You know, he's the world's best putter, which is what he was. He didn't forget how to putt. All he's got to do is, you know, hit fairways, hit greens. He's still the world's best putter. And so, therefore, he could be competitive in these tournaments. And the problem is he can't hit fairways and greens. If he could hit fairways and greens, he'd be fine. But he's got no touch in his game. His eye line, I don't know if he needs a new coach or if it just his body has changed so much because of all the, you know, changes, you know, because of all the injuries that he's never going to be what he's going to be. And then we're talking about the Braves as well. Again, you're open to talk about the Falcons as long as it's a legitimate call. And you're open to talk about the Hawks as well. And I'm going to get into some SEC here coming up in a couple of minutes. Is Chuck still with us here on line four, Eric? Let's go to Chuck. Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Mr. Freaky. First of all, I'm going to talk slower. Second, I want to let you know, I'm not. Chuck, we don't have two opposite bipolar thoughts. We are both avid sports fans. I would not be calling you if Kirk Cousins does bad to get Phoenix in. I don't believe in a rookie quarterback if you're trying to win now. Just like Peyton Manning, just like the guy down at Jacksonville, just like so many others, you're going to have a rough year. So I'm not pushing for Phoenix at all. I'd rather him sit a couple of years. But that said, when people like Marlo call up, it just irks my heart. Because if Ronald Acuna doesn't put on the Braves uniform again, he's already played worth his contract of $100 million. That's what's crazy. And we never hit on truth stuff sometimes. Now, all I'm saying is, yeah, why are you going to talk about this stuff and not talk about that stuff? No, I'm not trying to get Kirk Cousins and Ron Acuna and say they do the same thing. Of course they don't. But I'm just saying, how can my mind be great on Ronald coming back but be bright on Kirk Cousins playing for the Falcons and taking them to the Super Bowl? That's all I'm saying.
Well, I appreciate that, Chuck. Chuck, I appreciate it. I got to let somebody else in here. I mean, normally we don't let people call in twice during a show. Is that, you know, I understand what you're saying here. I was just saying that when you look at the two of them, you know, you can't compare them. There's just, we have to talk about them separately. We could talk about Kirk Cousins, which is fine, you know, but we can't talk about Kirk Cousins and Ronald Acuna in the same sentence. They just did two totally different things. They had two totally different conversations. That's all. And, you know, how does Kirk Cousins fall into all this? We don't know yet. We may not see him at all in the preseason. That's a bit of a concern to me. That would be more concerning to me a little bit than his injury because of the nature of the Falcons' schedule the first 5 weeks of the year. The first 5 weeks, of course, you're playing the Steelers, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bucks, and the Saints. That's critical. And, you know, your season can rise or fall. By week 10 of the Falcons' schedule, they will have played the Bucs twice, the Saints twice, and the Panthers. They will have played five of their six. I don't like this schedule for that reason. Five of their six division games by week 10. There will be no way to make that up with only one game against Carolina the final seven games, only one division game to make that up if there are any tiebreakers involved. You can't make it up. So you got to hit the ground running. Because in those first 5 weeks, this is an outgrowth of a show I did on Thursday with Carl, because he's talking about what Josh Kendall at The Athletic said were the kind of the best case and worst case scenarios for the Atlanta Falcons this year. And he talked about, you know, 2-1 in the first 3 weeks. I'm not really worried about the first 3 weeks. I mean, Pittsburgh is, you know, important because it's Arthur Smith. It's the opening game. You know, Philadelphia is important, but it's more important because it's a conference game than tiebreakers. And, of course, Kansas City is a marquee game, and those are primetime games, and Kansas City will be at home and all that kind of good stuff. That's wonderful. It's the next 2 weeks. It's weeks 4 and 5. You got to be ready for those games, because even if you come out of the first 2 weeks at 1-2, fine. I'm not worried about that. You have to win weeks 4 and 5. You've got to beat the Bucs and Saints. Because at that point, if you're 3-2 and you've beaten the Bucs and Saints, regardless of what you did against the first three, you could be 0-3. If you beat the Bucs and Saints, that puts you in a much better spot. You've got to try to win this division. That's the whole point here. And to win the division, the number one priority, there are a lot of priorities, right? You got 9 home games. You got to go 6-3 at worst at home. There are so many division games. You got to do that. Conference games. You got to do those. There are marquee.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Games in terms of, you know, prime time. Okay, I get all these markers, but the most important marker for the team in order to win the division is that they can go no worse than 4-2 in the division. I mean, no worse than 4-2. And I want them to go 5-1. And they're going to play five of those six division games in the first 10 weeks. So Kirk Cousins has to be ready from the jump here, which is one of the reasons they may protect him. But that's a little bit of a concern to me, too, if we're having to protect him through the preseason. I hope he gets at least a little bit of run, because that team needs to be up and running from the jump this year. There's no slowing this into, oh, and maybe by the middle of the season stuff. Not the way it's going to really kind of play out for the Falcons. Quick break as we continue next. I'm going to bring in some SEC stuff here. Some thoughts from Media Days. And where do you hear some of these hot takes that are floating around after Media Days? You got that next with John Fricke on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Sports Radio 9, John The Game from the Northern Kia Studios. And I appreciate all of you guys. I do, you know, Chuck and You know, just say it for the record here. Had some interesting. We have one really bad call. Don't be the bad call. Chuck is a good call. It's fine. He's just comparing things that don't. Can't compare Kirk Cousins and Ronald Acuna, guys. Okay, you can't. It's like comparing me to Taylor Swift. We both have a microphone. That's about it. That's about the only thing we share. You know, I don't have a boyfriend that plays pro football. I'm married to my beautiful bride Tammy. That's about it. You know. So they're you know, we both breathe air. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're nothing similar. They're totally different. Okay. And so when you put them in the same sentence, you can't. It just doesn't work. 404-726-0929. So we're talking about the Braves here, second half of the season. Kind of what are you looking at here? Hopefully, you know, it's raining up here at the Northern Kia Studios again. So hopefully they can get this. Got a doubleheader scheduled for today to make up for the rain out yesterday. There was some good news for the Braves yesterday. Both the Phillies and Mets lost. That means they're 8 back of the Phillies and 4.5 ahead of the Mets. Mets are the first team up to try to knock the Braves out of the wild card, so that's why it's important. Atlanta United tonight, Columbus Crew, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 kick, live on your home with the Five Stripes, Sports Radio 92 on the game, and kind of keeping an eye on the British Open here, though. It's lacking a little drama for me at the moment, and a lot of the big names are gone. Rory, I mean, I don't know. I'm hazardous to guess here that Rory's, you know, the whole I'm getting a divorce, I'm getting back with my wife, all the rumors about him and the, you know, the TV and all that kind of stuff. I think he's got some. I'll put it this way: he's been playing after the missed putts that he had in the last tournament. He's starting to play like a guy that's got other things going on in his life, and that's not me being a sports analyst. That's me being a guy who's been through things in his life. That because when things happen in your life, that it can affect your workplace, and you know it can affect my workplace because you're not here 100%. You know what I mean? 404-726-0929, and I'm still looking for somebody. Hey Eric, I asked this to Noah White. Are you going to play this EA College Football 25 thing?
I absolutely am, sir. And I heard you when I was driving in. I asked one of my buddies, would he call in and be a part of the show? I'm waiting for him to respond to me. I will do it. I will build a legacy team. I will build a throwback team. I will have a lot of fun with it.
This thing is taking the world by storm. The EA released it 3 days early at a premium price,
right.
$40 premium upgrade, yeah, from $60 to $100. And they said, well, we'll release it 3 days early if you want to pay this extra $40. And 2.2 million people bought it.
Right, because that wasn't really – and actually I thought it was 100 from 75. It might have been 40, but I mean that's not much of a premium to get it a couple of days early. It's really not. I didn't buy it. My stepson bought it, and I'll play with him. But I didn't think when I heard that, I was like, well, that's not that, you know, much of a difference. So hey,
you know, I there are different levels you can buy in on, but yeah, so many people are playing this thing. I'm not a gamer. I'm married. I've got a house. I've got a lot of duties here. I'm not, you know, a single guy like I was in an apartment. I don't have that kind of free time. So, you know,
but
that's
the cool
why
thing about it, John, is like I said, my stepson, he's 20. He's playing it, and he's coming to me and asking me about all these old school players. Like, you're a Nebraska guy, Tommy Frazier. Is a big, great dual threat quarterback on the game.
Because he was one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of college football. Sure,
absolutely. Now, unfortunately, and he is on the game, but my stepson didn't know much about what's the running back that had the Lawrence Phillips. He's on the game. You know, I mean, so there's a lot of throwback guys. I know you talked about Oklahoma State a couple years ago. Both Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas are on the game, so it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of the newer guys to be able to use some of these older players. Think about Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, some of these guys that you can use on this game now that, man, you've never seen them play or you've only heard about them. That's going to be the really fun part about it.
Yeah. Tom Osborne told me once. And I've known Tom Osborne forever. I was talking to him once, and I said to him, we were at a dinner in California, and we were just talking and laughing about some of the things that happened in the past. And I looked at him and I said, what was the one guy that got away, and did he just walk? And he said, "You're not gonna believe this." He goes, "I let Barry Sanders go. Barry was here. Said I wanted to sign, And I said, I've already gotten this running back from Omaha named Keith Jones, who was a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we're only going to take one running back in the class. And he said, I really wanted Barry. And he went to Oklahoma State, and he said he regrets it. Can you imagine Barry Sanders at Nebraska?
Wow.
He was going to sign that day.
I didn't see him in college, but, yeah, I can imagine. You know, I heard that.
In college, he was that guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can trump that story, not me personally, but I've talked to the family of Walter Payton, and, you know, Southern Miss let Walter Payton go.
Yes.
That's how he ended up at Jackson State.
You're right. That's correct. Southern Miss, that's why he wound up at
Jackson State.
Jackson State.
Yep. Yeah, Southern Miss could have a whole new story chapter of their football program.
I mean, they already who's the greatest Southern Miss player of all time?
Brett
Everybody
Favre.
Out there?
Brett Favre.
Right? Of course, Brett Favre. But he wouldn't have been had he some other guy made a different decision.
It happens all the time.
SEC media comes out. Now, I put very little stock in media polls. Here's why. SEC preseason media poll, they poll the media in Dallas. 1 through 16, I'll just give it to you. Top four in order, 1, Georgia, 2, Texas, 3, Alabama, 4, Ole Miss. No shock. That's everybody's top four. Though I think 5, LSU is going to have a big say. 6, Missouri, 7, Tennessee, 8, Oklahoma. I find that interesting only because I think some Oklahoma fans are mad, but I'm going, hey, Oklahoma, you're in a new world. I have a great affection for Oklahoma from my years as a fan, but this is a new world for you. Eighth is not a bad place to be, though obviously it's not going to be top four, and top four is where you want to be because top four is probably going to make the playoff. 9, Texas A&M. 10, Auburn. You can see here, like, we go to Auburn at 10. You go from Ole Miss at 4, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M, and Auburn. To me, you can almost put them in a hat. Oh, you can't put Ole Miss and Auburn in a hat. And I'm going to tell you something. Auburn's going to be an interesting team to me. I don't know about Peyton Thorne at quarterback. Maybe they go with the youngster Walker White. But I think Hugh Freeze is a hell of a coach. Okay, I'm just saying. Kentucky 11, Florida 12. Whew. That screams Billy Napier is getting fired. South Carolina 13, Arkansas 14, Mississippi State 15. And then Vanderbilt last. Among the media, the champion, okay, the eventual, we're talking about winning the SEC championship game here in Atlanta. 165 pick Georgia, 27 pick Texas, 12 pick Alabama, 4 pick Ole Miss, 2 pick LSU. I think 2 LSU is probably a low figure. I think LSU is going to be good. I think Nussmeier could play. Brian Kelly's really actually impressed me more than I ever expected he would at LSU. 1 pick South Carolina, but that's, and I'll tell you why that's a bigger joke than 2 picking Vanderbilt. Again, 165 pick Georgia, 27 Texas, 12 Alabama, 4 Ole Miss to win it, 2 LSU, 1 South Carolina, and 2 Vanderbilt. Now, the 2 Vanderbilt, that's just a flat-out joke, okay? It's just stupid. Clark Lee's getting fired. There's no chance of that. We all get that. The reason the 1 vote for South Carolina is a bigger joke than the 2 votes of Vanderbilt is the dude that voted for South Carolina believes it. Okay? He believes it. He believes he voted. Oh, yeah. You know, he's looking down the schedule going, oh, we can win this game. Yeah, we can win that game. We got this. We're 10 and 2. We're going to be in the championship game. We're winning. We're going to do this. We're going to face all. Oh, yeah, we got this. Okay. The dude who voted for South Carolina, presuming he's a dude, but I'll go with the odds, really believes it. The 2 people who voted for Vanderbilt are just jackamoles. That's all. I mean, that's all they are. 404-726-0929. And there's always those people who do this. I ran what is now the coaches poll for a number of years. I honestly will tell you, one of the little inside baseball things about a college football poll is there were a couple of times where I took a poll and I handed it back to somebody and I said, I can't accept this, because it was like Vanderbilt number 1. I said, I can't accept this. You know, I'm not going to put this in. No, you have to redo it. 404-726-0929. Tomahawkin. What is up, Tomahawkin? How you shaking today?
Hey, Freaky. What's up, Chief? Hey, man. Dude, the Braves are coming in for a grind for the next 30 days with the doubleheader today. And then, you know, we got the Mets next weekend. That's going to be a slobber knocker. I had to disagree with the caller. What's his name? Marlowe and trading Acuna. Man, that would be a PR nightmare. This is bad.
Of course,
like if they traded, if the Hawks traded Trae Young. I'm like, dude.
No, it would be. I actually think it would be worse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, why would they do that? Double A wouldn't be that dumb to do that. I mean,
now, the question becomes, do you have a discussion with him in order to protect his longevity into reworking him into, you know, a DH left fielder and more of a cleanup hitter than a leadoff stolen base guy playing right field, only
because you're worried
about these. Yeah, so that's the only question I have. Now, again,
next Eric Davis.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, you want to protect him. Now, he may not want to do that. And if he says no, then you have no other option but to let him heal up, put him out in right field, put him at the top of the lineup. And if he gets hurt again, you say, see, we told you. And what we're trying to tell you is we want you to be the tent post for this team for the next decade or more. And if you really want to get paid that Ohtani kind of paycheck, you can't.
Yeah.
If you get injured again, that paycheck
it's
goes
done.
Out the window. And by the way, they would have, if he had not gotten injured and had another season like he did last year, this year, they would have reworked him and paid him Ohtani money at the end of this year. He will not He will now not see a new offer for 3 more years. He just won't. They're going to make him play the entire contract out.
Yeah, I agree. And I say, do you think Acuna is underrated in the city? Because he doesn't get the, you know, if he was in a Rotten Apple, New York, he'd have been on BSPN, like, religiously. Like, it'd have been gospel up there. I think Acuna is underrated
in the
city.
I mean, he's not underrated in our town. I mean, everybody knows what he is. I mean, it was like, you know, how is he not the unanimous MVP last year? No, it's just New York, again, Tomahawk, and I know these people in New York and L.A. that work in the media. Well, how do I know that? Well, I worked there. I worked with them. for years. I know these people. They hate us. They hate us.
I know.
They can't stand us. They hate Atlanta. They hate the South. Yeah, I mean, they hate us. So I don't know what to tell you, but they are going to throw shade whenever they can throw. And tomorrow when I get into
CBS the whole narrative about Braves games or Braves, we don't sell out in the playoffs. Like, we don't feel the
right
fans in the playoffs.
Or Atlanta's a bad sport. Atlanta's a bad sports town.
It's
God.
Exactly.
And it's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
I know. One more question, you know the Olympics in 96 was 28 years ago. What was this city like back then? Because, you know, I was, 12 years old when that happened. And what I heard is the AOC was corrupt. Can you feel us, like the fans who don't know that the Olympics were out here? What was that like?
Well, the Olympic, the IOC is corrupt, yes. I mean, the Olympics, yes, they're corrupt. They're Banana Republic corrupt. I mean, there's no question of that. That's not a disputable point. What it was like, to me, what it was like really was more the buildup to it. From the announcement to, you know, all the construction that took place, because there were a couple of things I found to be hilarious in a manner of speaking. Number one was all of the discussion about how you weren't going to be able to move on the downtown connector and they had to make alternate plans. And when we finally got to the Olympic Games, man, traffic was like light. It was like breezing. You know, it was like, okay. I mean, it was no big deal. It was like, okay, we can get around. Second thing was when it comes to construction and road construction, they had to widen that whole downtown connector, you know, from the Brookwood Interchange all the way down to
I-20. I do remember
that. So they had a greater curve. They had to do all that construction. They had to do it super fast, and they had to get it done, right? And it's sort of like when the bridge burned a few years back on 85.
Yep.
When they want to put the pedal to the metal and get a construction project, they got it done lickety-split. Otherwise, it's like it takes 9 years to do, like, pave 2 lanes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like,
Thank you.
You really can do this. You really can do these things.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and at-bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/at-bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 9, John DeGain from the Northern Kia Studios. And I appreciate all of you guys. I do, you know, Chuck, and, you know, just say it for the record here. Had some interesting, we have one really bad call. Don't be the bad call. Chuck is a good call. It's fine. He's just comparing things that don't. Can't compare Kirk Cousins and Ronald Acuna, guys. Okay, you can't. It's like comparing me to Taylor Swift. We both have a microphone. That's about it. That's about the only thing we share. You know, I don't have a boyfriend that plays pro football. I'm married to my beautiful bride, Tammy. That's about it, you know. So, they're you know, we both breathe air. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, they're nothing similar. They're totally different, okay? And so when you put them in the same sentence, it just you can't. It just doesn't work. 404-726-0929. So we're talking about the Braves here, second half of the season. Kind of what are you looking at here? Hopefully, you know, it's raining up here at the Northern Kia Studios again. So hopefully they can get this. Got a doubleheader scheduled for today to make up for the rain out yesterday. There was some good news for the Braves yesterday. Both the Phillies and Mets lost. That means they're 8 back of the Phillies and 4.5 ahead of the Mets. Mets are the first team up to try to knock the Braves out of the wild card. So that's why it's important. Atlanta United tonight. Columbus Crew, 6:30 pregame, 7:30 kick, live on your home with the Five Stripes. Sports Radio 99 The Game, and kind of keeping an eye on the British Open here, though. It's lacking a little drama for me at the moment, and a lot of the big names are gone. Rory, I mean, I don't know. I'm hazardous to guess here that Rory's, you know, the whole, I'm getting a divorce, I'm getting back with my wife, all the rumors about him and the, you know, the TV and all that kind of stuff. I think he's got some. I'll put it this way. He's been playing after the missed putts that he had in the last tournament. He's starting to play like a guy that's got other things going on in his life. And that's not me being a sports analyst. That's me being a guy who's been through things in his life. Because when things happen in your life, that it can affect your workplace and, you know, it can affect my workplace because you're not here 100%, you know what I mean? 404-726-0929. And I'm still looking for somebody. Hey, Eric, I asked this to Noel White. Are you going to play this EA College Football 25 thing?
I absolutely am, sir. And I heard you when I was driving in. I asked one of my buddies, would he call in and be a part of the show? I'm waiting for him to respond to me. I will do it. I will build a legacy team. I will build a throwback team. I will have a lot of fun with it.
This thing is taking the world by storm. The EA released it 3 days early at a premium price,
right.
A $40 premium upgrade, yeah. From $60 to $100. And they said, well, we'll release it 3 days early if you want to pay this extra $40. And 2.2 million people bought it.
Right, because that wasn't really, and actually I thought it was 100 from 75. It might have been 40, but I mean, that's not much of a premium to get it a couple days early. It's really not. I didn't buy it. My stepson bought it, and I'll play with him. But I didn't think when I heard that, I was like, well, that's not that, you know, much of a difference. So, hey.
You know, I there are different levels you can buy in on, but yeah, so many people are playing this thing. I'm not a gamer. I'm married. I've got a house. I've got a lot of duties here. I'm not, you know, a single guy like I was in an apartment. I don't have that kind of free time. So,
but that's the cool thing about it, John, is like I said, my stepson, he's 20. He's playing it, and he's coming to me and asking me about all these old school players, like you're a Nebraska guy, Tommy Frazier. Is a big, great dual threat quarterback on the game.
Because he was one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of college football. Sure.
Absolutely. Now, unfortunately, and he is on the game, but my stepson didn't know much about what's the running back that had the Lawrence Phillips. He's on the game, you know. I mean, so there's a lot of throwback guys. I know you talked about Oklahoma State a couple years ago. Both Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas are on the game. So it's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of the newer guys to be able to use some of these older players. Think about Bo Jackson, Herschel Walker, some of these guys that you could use on this game now that, man, you've never seen them play or you've only heard about them. That's going to be the really fun part about it.
Yeah. Tom Osborne told me once. And I've known Tom Osborne forever. I was talking to him once, and I said to him, we were at a dinner in California, and we were just talking and laughing about some of the things that happened in the past. And I looked at him and I said, what was the one guy that got away, and did he just walk? And he said, you're not gonna believe this. He goes, I let Barry Sanders go. Barry was here. Said I wanted to sign. And I said, I've already gotten this running back from Omaha named Keith Jones, who was a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. And we're only going to take one running back in the class. And he said, I really wanted Barry. And he went to Oklahoma State, and he said, he regrets it. Can you imagine Barry Sanders at Nebraska?
Wow.
He was going to sign that day.
I didn't see him in college, but yeah, I can imagine. You know, I heard
in college he was that guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can trump that story, not me personally, but I've talked to the family of Walter Payton, and, you know, Southern Miss let Walter Payton go.
Yes.
That's how he ended up at
Southern
Jackson State.
You're right. That's correct. Southern Miss, that's why he wound up at Jackson State.
Yeah. Southern Miss could have a whole another you know, story chapter of their football program.
I mean, they already who's the greatest Southern Miss player of all time?
Brett
Everybody
Favre.
Out there?
Brett Favre.
Right? Of course, Brett Favre. But he wouldn't have been had he some other guy made a different decision.
It happens all the time.
SEC media comes out. Now, I put very little stock in media polls. Here's why. SEC preseason media poll, they poll the media in Dallas, 1 through 16. I'll just give it to you. Top four in order, 1, Georgia, 2, Texas, 3, Alabama, 4, Ole Miss. No shock. That's everybody's top four. Though I think 5, LSU is going to have a big say. 6, Missouri, 7, Tennessee, 8, Oklahoma. I find that interesting only because I think some Oklahoma fans are mad, but I'm going, hey, Oklahoma, you're in a new world. I have a great affection for Oklahoma from my years as a fan, but this is a new world for you. 8th is not a bad place to be, though obviously it's not going to be top four, and top four is where you want to be because top four is probably going to make the playoff. 9, Texas A&M, 10, Auburn. You can see here, like, we go to Auburn at 10. You go from Ole Miss at 4, LSU, Missouri, Tennessee, Oklahoma, A&M, and Auburn. To me, you can almost put them in a hat. Oh, you can't put Ole Miss and Auburn in a hat. And I'm going to tell you something. Auburn's going to be an interesting team to me. I don't know about Peyton Thorne at quarterback. Maybe they go with the youngster Walker White. But I think Hugh Freeze is a hell of a coach. Okay, I'm just saying. Kentucky 10, Kentucky 11, Florida 12. Whew. That screams Billy Napier is getting fired. South Carolina 13, Arkansas 14, Mississippi State 15, and then Vanderbilt last. Among the media, the champion, okay, the eventual, we're talking about winning the SEC championship game here in Atlanta. 165 pick Georgia, 27 pick Texas, 12 pick Alabama, 4 pick Ole Miss, 2 pick LSU. I think 2 LSU is probably a low figure. I think LSU is going to be good. I think Nussmeier could play. Brian Kelly's really actually impressed me more than I ever expected he would at LSU. One picks South Carolina, but that's, and I'll tell you why that's a bigger joke than two picking Vanderbilt. Again, 165 pick Georgia, 27 Texas, 12 Alabama, 4 Ole Miss to win it, 2 LSU, 1 South Carolina, and 2 Vanderbilt. Now, the 2 Vanderbilt, that's just a flat-out joke. Okay, it's just stupid. Clark Lee's getting fired. There's no chance of that. We all get that. The reason the one vote for South Carolina is a bigger joke than the two votes of Vanderbilt is the dude that voted for South Carolina believes it. Okay? He believes it. He believes he voted. Oh, yeah. You know, he's looking down the schedule going, oh, we can win this game. Yeah, we can win that game. We got this. We're 10 and 2. We're going to be in the championship game. We're winning. We're going to do this. We're going to face all. Oh, yeah, we got this. Okay. The dude who voted for South Carolina, presuming he's a dude, but I'll go with the odds, really believes it. The two people who voted for Vanderbilt are just jack-a-moles. That's all. I mean, that's all they are. 404-726-0929. And there's always those people who do this. I ran a poll. I ran what is now the coaches' poll for a number of years. I honestly will tell you, one of the little inside baseball things about a college football poll is there were a couple of times where I took a poll and I handed it back to somebody and I said, I can't accept this, because it was like Vanderbilt number one. I said, I can't accept this. You know, I'm not going to put this in. No, you have to redo it. 404-726-0929. Tomahawkin. What is up, Tomahawkin? How you shaking today?
Hey, Freaky. What's up, Chief? Hey, man. Dude, the Braves are going to be in for a grind for the next 30 days with the doubleheader today. And then, you know, we got the Mets next weekend. That's going to be a slobber knocker. I had to disagree with the caller. What's his name? Marlowe and Trey Acuña. Man, that would be a PR nightmare. This is bad. Of course, like, if the Hawks traded Trey Young. I'm like, dude.
No, it would be. I actually think it would be worse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like, why would they do that? Double A wouldn't be that dumb to do that. I mean,
no, the question becomes, do you have a discussion with him in order to protect his longevity into reworking him into, you know, a DH left fielder and more of a cleanup hitter than a leadoff stolen base guy playing right field, because you're worried about these. Yeah, so that's the only question I have. Now, again, what Marlowe didn't understand is you
come next Eric Davis.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, you want to protect him. Now, he may not want to do that. And if he says no, then you have no other option but to let him heal up, put him out in right field, put him at the top of the lineup. And if he gets hurt again, you say, see, we told you. And what we're trying to tell you is we want you to be the tent post for this team for the next decade or more. And if you really want to get paid that Ohtani kind of paycheck, you can't. Yeah. If you get injured again, that paycheck
it's
goes
done.
Out the window.
It's
and, and by the way, they would have, if he had not gotten injured and had another season like he did last year, this year, they would have reworked him and paid him Ohtani money at the end of this year. He will not
exactly.
see.
Yeah.
He will not see up. A new. He will now not see a new offer for 3 more years. He just won't. They're going to make him play the entire contract out.
Yeah, I agree. And I say, do you think Acuña is underrated in this city? Because he doesn't get the, you know, if he was in a Rotten Apple, New York, he'd have been on BSPN, like, religiously. Like, it'd have been gospel up there. I think Acuña is underrated
in the
city.
I mean, he's not underrated in our town. I mean, everybody knows what he is. I mean, it was like, you know, How is he not the unanimous MVP last year? No, it's just New York, again, Tomahawk, and I know these people in New York and L.A. that work in the media. Well, how do I know that? Oh, I worked there. I worked with them. for years. I know these people. They hate us. They hate us.
I know.
They can't stand us. They hate Atlanta. They hate
cool.
the South. Yeah, I mean, they hate us. So I don't know what to tell you, but they are going to throw shade whenever they can throw. And tomorrow when I get into
CBS
is.
About Braves yeah. games, or Braves, we don't sell out in the playoffs. Like, we don't feel it
right.
stand in the playoffs.
Or Atlanta's a bad sport. Atlanta's a bad sports town.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
And it's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
I know. One more question, Freaking. You know, the Olympics in 96 was 28 years ago. What was this city like back then? Because, you know, I was, 12 years old when that happened. And what I heard is the AOC was corrupt. Can you feel us, like the fans who don't know that the Olympics were out here? What was that like?
Well, the Olympic, the IOC is corrupt. Yes, I mean the Olympic. Yes, they're corrupt. They're okay. Banana Republic corrupt. I mean, there's no question of that. I'm not even. That's not a disputable point. What it was like to me, what it was like really was more the build up to it. From the announcement to, you know, all the construction that took place, because there were a couple of things I found to be hilarious in a manner of speaking. Number one was all of the discussion about how you weren't going to be able to move on the downtown connector and they had to make alternate plans. And when we finally got to the Olympic Games, man, traffic was like light. It was like breezing. You know, it was like, okay. I mean, it was no big deal. It was like, well, okay, we can get around. Second thing was when it comes to construction and road construction, they had to widen that whole downtown connector, you know, from the Brookwood Interchange all the way down to
I-20. I do remember
right?
that.
So they had a greater curve. They had to do all that construction. They had to do it super fast, and they had to get it done, right? And it's sort of like when the bridge burned a few years back on 85.
Yep.
When they want to put the pedal to the metal and get a construction project, they got it done lickety-split. Otherwise, it's like it takes 9 years to do, like, pave two lanes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like, so you really can do this. You really can do these things quickly if you want to, but only if you want to. Otherwise, it's just a make work project. Okay. I understand how you're rolling.
OT, I'm going to go OT again. How was underground back then? Because from what I heard, underground was off the chain back then.
I stopped going to underground in the late 70s, so I can't speak.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, because
I remember
it was underground for us.
At the Braves games at the old Chop Shop.
It was, yeah. Well, by that point though, it was Buckhead. So I had moved. You know, and by the way, during the Olympics, I was in Chattanooga at the time, so I was only coming down. So
you were doing the swimming trials up there, like the swimming event.
I was in Chattanooga, so I was living in Ringgold, Georgia.
Don't remind me of that town. I have bad memories of that.
I loved Ringgold. I had a great time there. I lived on a golf course called Winstone. It was great. I loved it. Loved Chattanooga.
Yeah, thank you for
taking
my call.
I can appreciate it. 404-726-0929. You want to be part of the program. What do the Rays do in the next 10 days? What do you think Alex Anthopoulos does? And have you bought EA Sports College Football? I'm still looking for a review on it. Tell me what you love about it and why you're so locked in. And should Tiger shut it down now that he is talking about and has used the term ceremonial golfer? On Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. One of the things I think is interesting about what's going to happen to college football this year is that you're going to have to adjust to the new 12-team playoff, and that became obvious even with the media at the SEC Media Days when one of the media members started grilling Kirby Smart about whether or not the 12-team playoff meant that the SEC championship game was no longer that important because, after all, the SEC is going to get four teams in, and the top two teams, since there are no divisions, are going to be meeting in the SEC title game, and whether or not you win it, you're still going to be in the playoff, so does that diminish the SEC championship? Well, of course the answer is no. It makes the SEC championship even more important. And the media doesn't understand. It becomes even more important. And the reason it becomes even more important is because the top four seeds in the playoffs in the 12-team get a bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. The next four, 5, 6, 7, 8, get a home game. And the final four, 9, 10, 11, 12, have to go on the road to play 5, 6, 7, 8, right? You follow. The top four seeds at the moment in this current version, and when I say current version, we're going to be going to 16 in a few years. That's another story. But in this 12-team format as we have them, the top four seeds are dedicated to the champions of the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12. Regardless of ranking, okay? Regardless. So if you are 12-0 and go to the SEC title game as the number one team in the nation and lose in triple overtime and drop to 12-1, you may still be the number two team in the rankings. Everybody, oh, wow, what an upset. The other day, you're still at best the number five seed, and you don't get a bye. You don't get a bye. You can say, well, wait a second. We're better than the number four, the number three, and the number two. We're better than the Big Ten champion. We're better than the ACC champion. That doesn't matter. You're not getting a bye. Because the byes are for the four conference champions and only for them. Which is why Notre Dame, and it's not going to happen, but Notre Dame could be 12-0, the greatest college football team of all time, and the only unbeaten team in America, a unanimous number one, and Notre Dame cannot get a bye. They cannot get a bye. The best they can be is the number five seed. Why? They're not in a conference. And it goes to the four conference champions. Now Notre Dame must try and get a bye. They got to join a league. You know, join the ACC, join the Big Ten, do something. But as an independent, there's no spot in the top four. So we have to work our way through some of these points here that even the media hasn't quite grasped, quite yet understanding of what how college football has changed. And by the way, going to continue to change because there was more news on the Florida State-Clemson divorce front here. And that's so over. God love the ACC and Jim Phillips trying to hang on to this. It's a divorce. We're just he doesn't understand that all we're negotiating is, you know, when do I get to see the kids and who gets to have that, like the TV. Coach is with us. Hey, Coach, welcome to the show. Appreciate your taking the time to call. Hey, Coach.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
Good.
I wanted to touch base with you about the SEC and the rankings. I tuned in just a little bit late. Could you please tell me the top five again?
Well, it's not really a rankings. It's just the media poll coming out of SEC Media Day. What they said Georgia won. This is what they said, and not me. Georgia won, Texas 2, Alabama 3, Ole Miss 4, LSU 5.
Okay. My problem with that is, and I am, I'll be a homer, but also realistic. I'm a Missouri Tiger fan. We're better than Texas, in my opinion. I don't think they belong in the top five to begin with. But, you know, we'll see. But as far as the whole, forefront, I do believe that the Missouri Tigers are being slept on this year. And I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be the greatest thing, but I will say that they do have a favorable schedule, and they are loaded with some weapons on offense, and particularly like the new defensive hire and what we've been able to do, I think will cause problems. I'm going to listen to you and hear what you have to say, sir.
That is Coach. Now, look, Missouri's biggest weapon now, and Eli Drinkwitz, this time last year we were talking about, is Eli Drinkwitz on the hot seat? And then Luther Burden happened. Look, he's not wrong. They've got weapons on offense. They're going to be kind of a tough out. The problem for Missouri is going to be convincing people because they have, in my estimation, the softest schedule in the SEC. And so they, at 10-2, you're likely to get into the college football playoff. The problem for Missouri is their schedule is so soft compared to other teams that if there are multiple 10-2 teams, let's just say that the SEC champion is, you know, 12-1 and the runner-up is 11-2, and there are three other teams that are 10-2, and you're only getting four in, and you got to pick two of the three, that might cost Missouri, where they may not get in at 10-2 because their schedule's soft. And that's not their fault. It's just the way kind of, at least on paper, to begin the year. Now, you don't know if things are going to fall here. It's, you know, Florida's schedule, meanwhile, for Billy Napier, is unfair. Their schedule is so brutal. Hey, do me a favor, Eric, and bring up the Florida Gators schedule. Can you take a second to do that for me? Okay, he's going to bring it up here because I don't want to get it wrong. I don't have it in front of me. But their last seven games are like, how do they go like 3-4? How do they go 2-5? It's like, man,
right,
if they
ready?
Yeah. What are their last seven games? So go cut down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then start there at game number 6 and give me their last seven games.
Okay, so the last seven, they start in Knoxville at Tennessee. That's October 12th.
All right, Tennessee.
Okay. Kentucky will come to Gainesville.
All right.
The Georgia-Florida annual game.
Right.
They will go to Austin to play Texas.
Yep.
Welcome in LSU. welcome in Ole Miss, and they finished the year, of course, with the in-state battle. They're in Tallahassee this year.
Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State.
That's cool.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Even if you take Tennessee and Kentucky out, just do the last five. Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. That might be, that is top 10,
maybe
top 10, top 10, top 10, top 10.
Yep. Yeah, that's, that yeah, might be 1-4.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
And you tell me, John.
That is brutal.
They open with the Hurricanes. Is the are the Hurricanes up or down this year? I know.
Probably slightly up.
Chris Cristobal is the coach, right?
Uh-huh.
The guy left York, the guy left Oregon?
Yeah, Marco Cristobal, right? Yeah.
Okay, and then they do start with three straight home. You know, they got the bye week. They play Samford. That's a bye week. And then they welcome in the Aggies in week three. I know the Aggies are breaking in a new coach, but they're never easy just, you know, rollover.
No, I mean, especially, is that at A&M?
No, it's they get the first three in Gainesville. So the U
right.
comes to Gainesville.
Well, that's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Right, the 12th man.
So, but yeah, I mean, they could go 3-0, or maybe even 2-1, but 3-0. Yeah, sure.
All right, and then they get they go to Starksville to play Mississippi State. That's game four.
Yeah, they'll win that.
Okay, and then the Golden Knights come for game five, and it all depends on what year it is for the Golden Knights, right?
So they're probably 4-1 after five games in some form or fashion.
Gotcha. Okay,
but then they get
then gauntlet starts.
You know, then hell comes.
And let's see, they do have the bye before the Georgia game, and then after
big
that,
deal.
Everything is
Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There cannot be a five game stretch in America more difficult. It just can't be. That is ridiculous. Now compared to Missouri's schedule, which I don't have in front of me, but Missouri's playing like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas. I mean, it's like they avoid most everybody. And it's like, okay. It's like Ohio State's schedule, which I hope that the voters penalize Ohio State to some degree. I'm not saying a big degree. I mean, if they're Big Ten champion, they're going to get a bye anyway. But don't make them automatically number one if they're 5-0, for example, because their first three games are against I know that you're not going to be able to handle this. It's so brutal. Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. They'll be Mid-American champions by the time they get to, like, week four. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And they all come to the horseshoe, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they're not going to play at Western Michigan. They're going to Waldo Stadium. Where's Waldo? In Kalamazoo. They're not doing that. I mean, so, it's just ridiculous.
That's the day they're retiring Antonio Brown's number. Of course they got to have Ohio State come in.
I mean, just stupid. I mean, just stupid. I mean, oh, my God. You at some point, strength of schedule has to matter. And The Big Ten's going to be tougher, and Big Ten Media Days are next. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. I do want to mention this just briefly here. And I have one more thing on the SEC after the top of the hour. Some hot takes from CBS. The Big Ten Media Days are coming up. If you're an SEC media fan, you're like, I don't care. No, you should. Because Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, I'm going to compare and contrast their notes. These are the two most powerful men in college sports. And these two men, now Petitti's a new commissioner. He's deferring somewhat to Sankey on certain things and not on others. But what they say combined is going to tell you where they're both headed. When he was asked about expansion, Sankey said, well, we're happy at 16, but, you know, I mean, things are fluid. Which means, the Big Ten and the SEC have been talking. There's no real governing body. The NCAA is out there. They're jumping up and down like the kid in the back row, like, you know, with their hands up and trying to jump. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. The NCAA is trying to, because the NCAA wants to run major college football. They've never run, you know that, they've never run major college football, right? Yeah. I mean, they're rules, but they've never run the championships. Because it's the old trivia question of how many national NCAA championships in football has Alabama won? The answer is zero. Because there's never been a Division I NCAA football champion. There has been a bowl champion. There's been an AP champion, a UPI champion, a CNN and USA Today champion. There's been football subdivision, playoff, this, that, you know. But there's never been an NCAA champion, Division I football champion. It's never happened, okay? And so The answer is zero. You've been something else. You've been the AP champion. You've been, and we call it national championship, but it's not an NCAA. And the NCAA is like, hey, we want to do that. You know, so they're jumping up and down trying to make all these proposals to let them govern over things and handle paying the players and things of that nature and working out, you know, the collective bargaining between the players and the schools and distribution of money and in terms of the playoffs. They're trying to weasel their way in. And Sankey's going to let them do that, or if Petitti and Sankey are going to form an alliance and the Big Ten and the SEC merge. They merge. Oh, that can't happen. Oh, yeah, it can. They can merge as a 34-team league and then invite, once this grant of rights thing is finally settled, invite another, say, 26 teams and form a 60-team thing that they run. And that can happen there because why? Well, because discussions are ongoing and have been ongoing between the two leagues about just that. Quick break, top of the hour. CBS has also given us some hot takes on some teams in the SEC. Where is that? Hang on. Don't go to break just yet. I want to find. Where did I put that? Oh, here it is. This is hit my mic from CBS. Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina. All right, so I wrote about half a dozen of them down, and I'm going to read those to you here in just a moment. Here is another takeaway from SEC hot takes from CBS on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One of the things I think is interesting about what's going to happen to college football this year is that you're going to have to adjust to the new 12-team playoff, and that became obvious even with the media at the SEC Media Days when one of the media members started grilling Kirby Smart about whether or not the 12-team playoff meant that the SEC championship game was no longer that important because, after all, the SEC is going to get four teams in, and the top two teams, since there are no divisions, are going to be meeting in the SEC title game, and whether or not you win it, you're still going to be in the playoff. So does that diminish the SEC championship? Well, of course the answer is no. It makes the SEC championship even more important. And the media doesn't understand, it becomes even more important. And the reason it becomes even more important is because the top four seeds in the playoffs in the 12-team get a bye. 1, 2, 3, 4. The next four, 5, 6, 7, 8, get a home game. And the final four, 9, 10, 11, 12, have to go on the road to play 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? You follow. The top four seeds at the moment in this current version, and when I say current version, we're going to be going to 16 in a few years. That's another story. But in this 12-team format as we have them, the top four seeds go to, are dedicated to, the champions of the SEC, the Big Ten, the ACC, and the Big 12, regardless of ranking. Okay? Regardless. So if you are 12-0 and go to the SEC title game as the number one team in the nation and lose in triple overtime and drop to 12-1, you may still be the number two team in the rankings. Everybody, oh, wow, what an upset. The other day, you're still at best the number five seed, and you don't get a bye. You don't get a bye. You can say, well, wait a second. We're better than the number four, the number three, and the number two. We're better than the Big Ten champion. We're better than the ACC champion. That doesn't matter. You're not getting a bye. Because the byes are for the four conference champions and only for them, which is why Notre Dame, and it's not going to happen, but Notre Dame could be 12-0, the greatest college football team of all time, and the only unbeaten team in America, a unanimous number one, and Notre Dame cannot get a bye. They cannot get a bye. The best they can be is the number five seed. Why? They're not in a conference. And it goes to the four conference champions. No, Notre Dame must try and get a bye. They got to join a league. You know, join the ACC, join the Big Ten, do something. But as an independent, there's no spot in the top four. So we have to work our way through some of these points here that even the media hasn't quite grasped, quite yet understanding of what how college football has changed. And by the way, going to continue to change because there was more news on the Florida State-Clemson divorce front here. And that's so over. God love the ACC and Jim Phillips trying to hang on to this. it's a divorce. We're just he doesn't understand that all we're negotiating is, you know, when do I get to see the kids and who gets to have that, like, the TV. Coach is with us. Hey, Coach, welcome to the show. Appreciate your taking the time to call. Hey, Coach.
Hey, how are you doing, sir? I wanted to touch base with you about the SEC and the rankings. I tuned in just a little bit late. Could you please tell me the top five again?
Well, it's not really a rankings. It's just the media poll coming out of SEC Media Day. What they said, Georgia won. This is what they said, not me. Georgia won, Texas 2, Alabama 3, Ole Miss 4, LSU 5.
Okay. My problem with that is, and I am, I'll be a homer, but also realistic. I'm a Missouri Tiger fan. We're better than Texas, in my opinion. I don't think they belong in the top five to begin with, but, you know, we'll see. But as far as the whole, forefront, I do believe that the Missouri Tigers are being slept on this year. And I'm not going to tell you that they're going to be the greatest thing, but I will say that they do have a favorable schedule, and they are loaded with some weapons on offense, and particularly like the new defensive hire and what we've been able to do, I think will cause problems. I'm going to listen to you and hear what you have to say, sir.
That is Coach. Now, look, Missouri's biggest weapon now, and Eli Drinkwitz, this time last year we were talking about, is Eli Drinkwitz on the hot seat? And then Luther Burden happened. Look, he's not wrong. They've got weapons on offense. They're going to be kind of a tough out. The problem for Missouri is going to be convincing people, because they have, in my estimation, the softest schedule in the SEC. And so they, at 10-2, you're likely to get into the college football playoff. The problem for Missouri is their schedule is so soft compared to other teams that if there are multiple 10-2 teams, let's just say that the SEC champion is, you know, 12-1 and the runner-up is 11-2, and there are three other teams that are 10-2, and you're only getting four in, and you got to pick two of the three, that might cost Missouri, where they may not get in at 10-2 because their schedule's soft. And that's not their fault. It's just the way, kind of, at least on paper, to begin the year. Now, you don't know if things are going to fall here. It's, you know, Florida's schedule, meanwhile, for Billy Napier, is unfair. Their schedule is so brutal. Hey, do me a favor, Eric, and bring up the Florida Gators schedule. Can you take a second to do that for me? Okay, he's going to bring it up here, because I don't want to get it wrong. I don't have it in front of me. But their last seven games are like, how do they go like 3-4? How do they go 2-5? It's like, man,
right,
if they,
ready?
What are their last seven games? So go cut down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then start there at game number 6, and give me their last seven games.
Okay, so the last seven, they start in Knoxville at Tennessee. That's October 12th.
All right, Tennessee.
Okay. Kentucky will come to Gainesville.
All right.
The Georgia-Florida annual game.
Right.
They will go to Austin to play Texas.
Yep.
Welcome in LSU. Welcome in Ole Miss, and they finish the year, of course, with the in-state battle. They're in Tallahassee this year.
Tennessee, Kentucky, Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State.
That's cool.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Even if you take Tennessee and Kentucky out, just do the last five. Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State. That might be, that is top 10, top 10, top 10, top 10, top 10.
Yep. Yeah. Might be 1-4.
Good luck. Mm-hmm. Good luck.
And you tell me, John.
That is brutal.
They open with the Hurricanes. Are the Hurricanes up or down this year? I know.
Probably slightly up.
Chris Cristobal is the coach, right?
Uh-huh.
The guy left York. Oh,
yeah.
The guy left Oregon.
Yeah, Marco Cristobal, right? Yeah.
Okay. And then they do start with three straight home. You know, they got the bye week. They play Samford. That's a bye week. And then they welcome in the Aggies in week three. I know the Aggies are breaking in a new coach, but they're never easy just, you know, rollover.
No, I mean, especially, is that at A&M?
No, they get the first three in Gainesville. So comes to Gainesville.
Well, that's a big difference. Yeah, that's a big difference.
Right, the 12th man.
So, but yeah, I mean, they could go 3-0 or maybe even 2-1, but 3-0. Yeah, sure.
All right. And then they go to Starksville to play Mississippi State. That's game four.
Yeah, they'll win that.
Okay, and then the Golden Knights come for Game 5, and it all depends on what year it is for the Golden Knights, right?
So they're probably 4-1 after 5 games in some form or fashion.
Gotcha. Okay.
But then they get,
then gauntlet starts.
You know, then hell comes.
And let's see, they do have the bye before the Georgia game, and then after
big
that,
deal.
Everything is
Georgia, Texas, LSU, Ole Miss, Florida State, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There cannot be a 5-game stretch in America more difficult. It just can't be. That is ridiculous. Now compared to Missouri's schedule, which I don't have in front of me, but Missouri's playing like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, Arkansas. I mean, it's like they avoid most everybody. And it's like, okay. It's like Ohio State's schedule, which I hope that the voters penalize Ohio State to some degree. I'm not saying a big degree. I mean, if they're Big Ten champion, they're going to get a bye anyway. But don't make them automatically number one if they're 5-0, for example, because their first three games are against, I know that you're not going to be able to handle this. It's so brutal. Akron, Western Michigan, and Marshall. They'll be Mid-American champions by the time they get to like week 4. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And they all come to the horseshoe, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they're not going to play at Western Michigan. They're going to Waldo Stadium. Where's Waldo? In Kalamazoo. They're not doing that. I mean, so, it's just ridiculous.
That's the day they're retiring Antonio Brown's number. Of course they got to have Ohio State come in.
I mean, just stupid. I mean, just stupid. I mean, oh, my God. You at some point, strength of schedule has to matter. And The Big Ten's going to be tougher, and Big Ten Media Days are next. Oh, that's what I wanted to mention. I do want to mention this just briefly here. And I have one more thing on the SEC after the top of the hour. Some hot takes from CBS. The Big Ten Media Days are coming up. If you're an SEC media fan, you're like, I don't care. No, you should. Because Tony Petitti and Greg Sankey, I'm going to compare and contrast their notes. These are the two most powerful men in college sports. And these two men, now Petitti's a new commissioner. He's deferring somewhat to Sankey on certain things and not on others. But what they say combined is going to tell you where they're both headed. When he was asked about expansion, Sankey said, well, we're happy at 16, but, you know, I mean, things are fluid. Which means, the Big Ten and the SEC have been talking. There's no real governing body. The NCAA is out there. They're jumping up and down like the kid in the back row, like, you know, with their hands up and trying to jump. Hey, look at me. Hey, look at me. The NCAA is trying to, because the NCAA wants to run major college football. They've never run, you know that, they've never run major college football, right? Yeah. I mean, they're rules, but they've never run the championships. Because it's the old trivia question of how many national NCAA championships in football has Alabama won? The answer is zero. Because there's never been a Division I NCAA football champion. There has been a bowl champion. There's been an AP champion, a UPI champion, a CNN and USA Today champion. There's been football subdivision, playoff, this, that, you know. But there's never been an NCAA champion, Division I football champion. It's never happened. Okay? And so the answer is zero. You've been something else. You've been the AP champion. You've been, and we call it national championship, but it's not an NCAA. And the NCAA is like, hey, we want to do that. You know, so they're jumping up and down trying to make all these proposals to let them govern over things and handle paying the players and things of that nature and working out, you know, the collective bargaining between the players and the schools and distribution of money and in terms of the playoffs. They're trying to weasel their way in. And Sankey's going to let them do that, or if Petitti and Sankey are going to form an alliance and the Big Ten and the SEC merge. They merge. Oh, that can't happen. Oh, yeah, it can. They can merge as a 34-team league and then invite, once this grant of rights thing is finally settled, invite another, say, 26 teams and form a 60-team thing that they run. And that can happen there because why? Well, because discussions are ongoing and have been ongoing between the two leagues about just that. Quick break, top of the hour. CBS has also given us some hot takes on some teams in the SEC. Where is that? Hang on. Don't go to break just yet. I want to find. See, where did I put that? Oh, here it is. This is from, oh, hit my mic. From CBS, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Florida, South Carolina. All right, so I wrote about half a dozen of them down, and I'm going to read those to you here in just a moment here. There's another takeaway from SEC Hot Takes from CBS on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.